Almighty and eternal God, our loving Father in heaven, blessed be thy holy name. Thank thee for this morning that thou hast preserved our life and health, that we may appear before thee in this holy place of worship. For all thy mercies through the past week, we give thee thanks and admit that we are unworthy of all thy goodness to us. For many times we have failed thee in not having a good Christian witness, in not serving thee with heart and soul, mind and strength, in failing thee in so many other ways that thou knowest and we know too, in the quiet moments as we examine ourselves. Lord, we beseech thee to draw nigh to us as we draw nigh to thee. We thank thee for this church that thou hast built up in the most holy faith on our Lord Jesus Christ, for the testimony of the Word of God, that through this Word of life, souls in darkness, perishing, have come to find Jesus and the way to everlasting life. O Lord our God, look deep in our hearts and speak to each one of us how we have been living our lives. Even as the writer of this book of Hebrews says, we are in the race that we run, and we are to run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, where we have slackened or deviated or faltered or at times feeling faint, we pray for thy sustaining power, that thou wilt guide us, strengthen us as we travel this pathway to heaven. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the testimony and witness of the Sunday school as the children have gone. I pray for the teachers. Please give them the word with power, that every teacher will be filled with thy spirit and with the joy of service, and they will bear the burden for the souls of children, that even at a young age they may come to receive Jesus and to walk with him. So Lord, bless this Sunday school. I pray for the Bible College, which thou hast seen through all these many years. Lord, may thou enable principal, faculty, student body, and all who are in support of this great school of the Bible, that they will run the race also, fight the good fight, and bring forth the power of thy word, and as good seed sown on good ground will bear fruit in many countries of the world. So Lord, bless this work in a great and mighty way. We pray for all our contact churches, all those whom thou hast placed in fellowship with us, that we may earnestly strive together for the faith of the gospel in the days yet remaining. And for all of us here this morning who have gathered in thy house, may thy spirit come now and open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may receive the truth with great joy, and this truth hidden in our hearts may work a great and mighty witness in our lives. O Lord our God, we confess we have not been altogether profitable for Thee, and yet Thou hast never failed us. May Thou provoke us through the words of Holy Scripture, that we may all confess our shortcomings, our lukewarmness, cold-heartedness, and the many times we have gone astray into the world. O Lord, may Thou bless this congregation, that we may all turn to Thee with heart and soul, mind and strength, and run the race which we are going to read about in the book of Hebrews. This is our prayer. Bless every hearer, everyone who has come here seeking, waiting on Thee. May Thy Spirit fulfill our needs according to Thy grace and Thy power. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen. As I walked in the front door, one of the members says, "Glad to see you. Always looking forward to your coming." I say, "Likewise. Always happy to be here and looking forward to your coming as well." Now, you know, the theme for today is running the race. And as I thought this morning, a song came to me, written by a royal prince in one of the countries in Central Europe. His name is called the Count Nikolaus Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Very long name. When he was converted, he gave his life and his fortune over to God, just to serve Him and to follow Him. And he wrote this beautiful song. I thought you all will love to sing it with me. It's so good to know that a person who has been gripped by the love of God, to know that this world is worthless, only a passing through. So he wrote this. Jesus, still lead on. By the way, how many of you here did not receive a copy? I want to know this, please. Don't be shy. Yes, I want to know, because I brought exactly 264. So if there are excess, I mean, those who still do not have, quite a few, please. Please, everyone must have it. Oh, so many people miss having the song sheet. All right, we have some idea how many people there are this morning by this counter. Thank you very much. Please don't be shy. Put your hands up and you'll get it free of charge, you know. All right, I think by now everybody has it. If you don't have, peep over to your shoulder's shoulder. To your neighbor's shoulder, I mean. All right. The Count Zinzendorf. I knew this song when I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I always loved it. So when I was compiling the hymn book, I said, I must have this one in. And so here it is. Jesus, still lead on, till our rest be won. And although the way be cheerless, is that right? Oh, my friends, dearly beloved, sometimes it is cheerless. In this sinful world, sometimes we go through valley of shadow, valley of temptation, many tribulations in this world. So the Count Zinzendorf wrote this. Although the way be cheerless, we will follow, because we know where the end is, where the road leads to. We will follow, calm and fearless. Guide us by Thy hand to our fatherland. Stanza 2. If the way be drear, if the foe be near, and I assure you, dear friends, you don't see him, but the foe is very near. Adversary, always near to stump you, to stumble you. So be very careful, it says here, though the fear be, if the foe be near, let not faithless fears overtake me, take us. Yes, fears for a Christian is a sign of faithlessness. Oh, that is a thing we ought not to suffer from. Don't be anxious and fearful all the time. Let not faith and hope forsake us, For through many a foe to our home we go. Always focus. In your Christian life, we are making for home. All of us. No place like home. Only one home. Now, stanza 3. When we seek relief from a long-felt grief, there are some people at the mention of a name break out in tears. Because of long-felt grief, natural. But with Jesus, you have comfort and relief from a long-felt grief. When oppressed by new temptations, Lord, increase and perfect patience. That's the gist of our message today in Hebrews 12:2. Run with patience. You need patience. Who can give you the patience? Jesus can. Show us that bright shore where we weep no more, because Jesus will have wiped your tears away and you do not have to sorrow with tears. Finally, in stanza 4, Jesus still lead on till our race be won. This is our theme, friends. Our theme, running the race. But Jesus leads on. Heavenly leaders still direct us, still support, console, perfect, protect us till we safely stand in our fatherland. A beautiful song. Not just sing. Pray as you sing. Why pray? Pray that the words enter your heart and that you can take this song sheet. So good. Take home. Sorry. Have music, please. All right. Everybody follow me, please. Jesus still lead on till our rest be won, and although the way be cheerless, we will follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand to our fatherland. If the way be drear, if the foe be near, let no faithless fears o'ertake us. Let no faith and no faith forsake us. For through many a foe, to our home we go. When we seek relief from a long-felt grief, when oppressed by new temptations, Lord, increase and perfect patience. Show us that bright shore where we weep no more. Jesus still lead on till our rest be won. Heavenly leaders still direct us, still support, console, protect us till we safely stand with our fatherland. Hebrews chapter 12. A wonderful chapter, which is a follow-on of chapter 11. Do you remember chapter 11? The famous faith chapter. How the writer of Hebrews goes through the whole spectrum of mortals such as you and I, sinners walking through this dark earth, found the light, heard the call of God, and forsook everything to run the race. And all of them arrived. That's why we begin Hebrews 12 with the word, wherefore. Wherefore looks back to what has been spoken about those like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, Moses, all the rest. It says, wherefore, if they all could run the race and run it successfully, so can you. So can we. Chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, right, he is the great witness, and he ran the race for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. Amen. All right, back to verse 1. How do you like that passage of wonderful scripture? Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, we are all in this race, and you cannot be in that race except the Lord himself calls you to follow him and to run that race. But it is a lifelong race, and it is fraught with many difficulties, pitfalls, dangers, as we have sung in the song just now. But the writer of this, he may have been Paul. Most people believe it was Paul. All right, let's suppose it was Paul. He says, dear friends, and I say to you this morning, dear friends, do you find your Christian walk with God, which is a race, in case you do not know, you know this morning. It is not just a stroll, you know. Not an easy walk. It never was meant to be. So he says, it is a race, and in case you have problem, who hasn't got problem? My dear friends, you have problem this morning? You have problem yesterday, last week? How many times you fell into temptation? These are problems. Did you feel discouraged or downhearted? Even wanting to give up sometimes? This happens. The writer says, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Because they're all up there. And they're all, as it were, spectators looking down at us. What are they doing? Encouraging. That's why you look to them. We are compassed about, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Not one, but unnumbered, countless people before us have run the race, so you too. Why? Were they special? Were they superhuman? Not at all. All of them were frail, mortal beings like you and I, the same. But they all ran that race. And they are now witnesses. What are they doing? They are encouraging us. Have you ever been to a sports meet? All the spectators are around. You're running. What are they doing? They're watching. Watching keenly. Seeing everyone has his favorite runner. And hoping, wishing, yearning that first person will run on and win the race. And what are they doing? Cheering! All right. If you have moments of discouragement, turn to Hebrews 12:1. So wonderful, isn't it? We all are in the great race. And in Pandan, I always use OHP. So I'll try here this morning. This is homemade OHP. I don't know whether you can read it. My wife says you better make it darker, otherwise they can't read. Run the race. What is the black dot here? Tell me, what is it? Huh? No answers. I'm sorry, what does it say? The earth, the world. This is the world. Huh? Doesn't look like the world. All right. And the direction, and it leads to, my wife says, the color of heaven is usually depicted as blue. Why would we make it red? I say, because I don't have a blue pen. So here it is. We are all in this race, dear friends, in case you do not know, after this morning, you cannot say you do not know. Right. Now, the writer says, run the race. From here, earth, why must you run from earth? Why? It is a perishing earth. Very soon it will be burned up. And before then, you will be called out of this earth. Please understand. We all are only temporary residents. No such thing as PR. But TR. Temporary. Very soon, our interest in this globe or earth is over. So why are we investing so much on earth? Your time, your ambition, all your talents doing things of earth. I said, no point. And to invest your money only on earth, no point. Because very soon, when the Creator Lord calls you, you go. We are all in that race today. How are we running that race? Dear friends, examine yourselves. I don't know what you are thinking. I don't know what you are doing with your time and talents and your wealth. I don't know. But I care. I care because very soon, when you are out of this earth, I hope you'll be there. Will you be there? Trusting in Jesus and no one else, you will be there. But that is not all, dear friends. There is a consideration. When you get there, the Savior Lord is going to ask you a question. How did you run that race? How? What have you done with your life? We are saved for service. So whenever we had our first ever Bible camp of the BP Church in 1954, our first theme was, saved to serve. Let us not be saved to sit and do nothing. Oh, my friends, in this race for God, let us run a good race. Let us fight a good fight. Because we are called for that purpose. If my Lord saw fit to die for me, to save me from my sins and the hell I deserve. And He did that willingly, lovingly, in spite of all the sufferings He had to go through that no one else knows, no one else ever did. Only He, Jesus, did it for me, for you. What have you done for Him? He's going to ask you on that day. What have you done? Running the race puts in focus where we are, what we are doing. We're all along this black line, all in that direction. If you are a believer, please understand. If not, you will have another arrow I did not draw. It's going down. I pray that no one is going by the downward arrow, because that is a way of no return. No return into a place that you never wanted to go to, but you are there. And then there is no escape, and no end, and no joy, forever and ever and ever, in the land of extreme grief, sorrow, suffering, and regret. Now let's talk of this trouble. All right, I show you for the last time. You remember it? I'm going to close it in now. Verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all these encourage us. Abraham and all his sons, all of them ran the same race. How? By faith. As I said, chapter 12 is a follow-on of chapter 11, which is all about faith. You cannot run the race without faith. You cannot join the race without faith. You cannot finish that race without faith. Faith for the beginning, all the way, till the end, by faith. So, let us read on, please. Let us lay aside every weight. The writer here knows very well what it is to run the race. Have you ever run the race? I ran the race. Because it was the first and last. Before that, I never ran the race. After that, also never ran the race. But in university, one year, I decided I would run the race. Because there was one fellow in the class who provoked me. He was so boastful because he was the fastest runner. And I got quite agitated. I said, I will run the race. How do you run the race? You've never run the race before. I bought a book. I read about Jesse Owens. You know Jesse Owens? Olympic runner who won 4 gold medals in 1936 and showed Hitler that the white race is not superior. The black race can beat the white race. So he provoked me. I studied, and one of the things you do is run light, travel light. So reduce weight and make yourself strong. So I ran the race. By the way, I beat that fellow. When I got to the breast the wedding tape, he said, Sam, I never knew you could run. Huh? I said, I never knew also. But I say, dear friends, when you run the race, you want to shed off every bit of excess weight, right? This is the spirit of the one who runs the heavenly race. You want to win. You want to run meaningfully. You don't just run there and collapse and finish. No. Don't carry weight, therefore. What is the weight you're talking about? Please see again. The writer says, you want to run the race for the Lord. Lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Yes, it is. We only know too well. Whenever you become a Christian, you become more aware. You become very acutely aware that every day you can be sinning if you are not careful. And indeed, we all do. In thought, in words, in deeds, we all sin against the Almighty God. But there is a solution. Dear friends, whenever you look to the Savior, you remember the Savior, the price He paid for you. And that price He had to pay because of your sin. And how can you go on sinning when those sins cause Him to go to the cross? It is unreasonable, isn't it? He died to save you from those sins. So those sins are likened to weight. You're running a race. You don't run a race carrying 22 kilos and run a race. You cannot. And those things are like weights, weighing you down and causing you to lose the race. Therefore, lay aside every weight of sin and the sins which so easily beset us. What is it? You know yourself. What is your weakness? Please don't blame your father for a bad temper. Many people do. Short fuse. Father got short fuse. I got short fuse. That is a bad excuse. It's a lame excuse. When Jesus died for you and saved you from your sins, it included the short fuse. That sin should go. So examine yourself. How do you behave in the house? Are you kind and loving to husband and wife? Children to parents? There are some people who are so sweet in the office, when they go home, there's a change of sweetness. Why is it? We run the race for the Lord Jesus Christ, that your Christian witness is sounded beyond your very presence, others will know this person is different. In the office, the workplace, wherever he goes, you know he's different. He does not horn his car whenever he drives this car. He's not angry, he's not easily provoked. Oh, my friends, do you have a Christian witness like that? We ought to always remember Christ died for me to save me from all my sins. Now, what am I doing now for him? Will people know that I am a Christian and that that kind of image I project is fragrant, is pleasant, is beautiful? Other people will say, hey, he is a different person. We would like to know what is his secret. No secret. You run the race, lay aside all those weight of sins, and travel, run on with patience. Let's see the last part of this verse. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience, because it is a long road. Your whole life you're running, though you must be patient. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. It is promised. It is guaranteed to us. You want to be a Christian, you've got to face tribulations and difficulties. And you're called not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to, what? Suffer. Let not suffering, which comes to you because of no fault of your own, because of your faith, because of your keeping the holy commandments, you come into inconvenience and loss and suffering. Remember, that is part of our Christian race. You suffer for him because Christ suffered for us. Now, verse 2. Look unto Jesus. You know, we all have someone we look up to. True? Yes, we all have. We all have our heroes. Young people have their pin-ups. Too often those pin-ups are useless, worthless pin-ups. And they admire them and follow them and imitate them. No point. Look to Jesus, verse 2. Look only to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How did you become a Christian? Because he called you. Because he gave the word to you. The first time I heard the word when I was 10 years old, it just came right into my heart. It hit me that right there. The hymns I sang for the first time was, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others you're calling, do not pass me by. Oh, what a wonderful Savior he is. And he ran the race. He ran the race that you cannot run. For when he came down to earth, he says, foxes have holes. Birds of the nest, birds of the air have their nest. But I, the Son of Man, have nowhere to lay my head on. He ran that race. When he came to his own rejected him. His own knew him not. Have anyone here experienced that? You come to your own people, your own family, and they don't know you, reject you. Jesus ran that race. And he was arrested, brought before his captors, and there they spat on him, insulted him, beat him, scourged him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and blasphemed him. What did he do? My friends, none of us have suffered any kind of inconvenience, have we, as a Christian? Have you? And yet we complain. Run the race with patience. Looking to Jesus who suffered all these, and ultimately on the cross, there he hung. What for? For you and for me. In order that he may, by his blood, wash away your sins. By his death, appease the justice of God. And reconcile us to God. Open a way for us to return to God. That is what he did. He ran that race for you and me. So look to him. Verse 2. Look to Jesus every day, please. Begin the day with Jesus. Do you not? Of course. But every time, through the day, every time you meet with some temptation, every time you meet with some setback, some kind of problem, turn to Jesus every day by prayer and supplication. Look to Jesus by prayer, pleading with Him, Lord, have mercy. I face this temptation. I face that problem, this difficulty, that kind of setback, disappointment. They will come. Look to Jesus every time and say, Lord, You call me to follow You. True? Yes. Since I was 10, I followed. Through all these 80, 70 years, I follow. But every time you feel downhearted, look to Jesus. Consider how He was despised of men, and He paid the price for you and me. Ran that race with patience. You say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me if I have disappointed You. Every time you sin, you disappoint Him. Ask Him for forgiveness. Look to Jesus. He gave you the faith to begin your Christian life. And as I said, this Christian life is not easy. It's never meant to be easy. But you have a sure, wonderful Savior who never leaves you. He says, I will never forsake you or leave you. I'm with you always. So look to Him every time. When you come to a difficult problem, a difficult juncture, look to Him. Verse 2. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not only does He start you off on the race by faith, but every step of the way by faith helps you, assures you, whispers in your ear, don't give up. Keep on running. I'm with you. When you know that, you will not give up. When you know that, you will not want to fall into temptation and sins, but you will look to Jesus. He will see you to the end. This is what it says. Verse 2. For finisher of our faith. He not only starts you and helps you along the way, but He sees you to the end of your race. How wonderful. Dear friends, to start is one thing. To run is one thing. But the most important thing is what? To finish the race. You must finish. Please, all of us. Run on. Look to Him. The crowd of witnesses are cheering. Jesus is the chief witness. He's cheering you on. Run on. The end is in sight. Don't give up. He is the finisher of our faith. Now it says here, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. We cannot even understand one minute part of the suffering of the cross. Not a little bit. But Jesus took the whole suffering of the agony of the cross. Why? Verse 2 says, for the joy that was set before Him. There was a target. There was a reward coming for Him. It was the joy. Joy of what? Joy of seeing souls liberated from sin. Saved from eternal destruction. Because He saw that you, a believer, are going to be saved today, in this year of 2006 in Singapore, He hung on the cross in that year, 2,000 years ago. He saw all of us and all the rest who are saved as the prize He will get, that He will win out of eternal hell. That joy. To know that perishing souls can be saved if He goes to the cross, He endured the cross. You see what a wonderful, wonderful motivation and a wonderful reward, wonderful prize He was running His race for. What is the prize you run for? What is it? Read on, please, as we come to a close. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God today because He ran the race, because He saw beyond the joy of souls to be saved in Singapore, in every country, you included. For that joy, He bore the suffering, endured the shame and the agony of the cross for you and for me. Therefore, run on. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Consider him, verse 3 now, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Be not discouraged, dear friends, as we come to the close of this message. Anyone who feels downhearted, very low, oh, it's so difficult to be a Christian, is it? Not really. Look to Jesus. He says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he has run the race. He has run his race to complete victory. And he is the author and finisher of your faith that enables you to run. When you have that faith, you run. And he gives you that faith, you run. Until the end, there is joy waiting for you. The joy of his own presence. You know what? King David wrote, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. After all his experiences, it's one thing. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty, and to inquire in his temple. This is all I want. In all my experience as a king, there's nothing that satisfies but this. You say that. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord in my running this race from earth to heaven. This one thing is that I may, at the end of it, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What for? To see him, behold his beauty, and to inquire, and to speak with him, and to hear him speak with me in that heavenly land. That is the end result, the race, the reward and the crown and the prize for all of us at the end of this great race. Run on, therefore. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, blessed be thy holy name. Grant to us the faith that overcomes all fears, that we will run on with courage, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.